I mean, yeah, I could find a journalist or somebody that knows about the, you know, a official person. But I thought I want to hear from a real fan. And there's somebody that I know that I've worked with on a couple of plays. In fact, he's a very talented director as well as a drama teacher and English teacher here in the Chicago suburban area. But for our purposes, he is a major Beatle fan. I'm very impressed because he's probably in his late 30s, early 40s, and yet he is as big as a Beatle fan as you might find. So let me you know, introduce and welcome to the show, Jay Fontanetta. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Elton Jim. How you doing?
Very good. So before I get into some of the specifics about this, I just want to get right off the bat. What I assume you saw at least the first episode or maybe the second one. What have been your what are your initial reactions to The Beatles Get Back on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I watched the first episode so far. I watched it with my wife and my father-in-law, who are standing here with me. Also, enormous Beatles fans. We're all excited to be talking to you.
Oh, so what did you what did you think?
I liked it. I think that, you know, if you're a fan of the Beatles and you love them and you follow their career, you know, none of this is going to, it's all been so well documented already. You know, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that, and we should give a little background on this. So the short, the kind of Cliff Notes version of this is the unseen footage that was shot but never used for the original film called Let It Be, which was released in 1970, soon after the Beatles broke up. And that film focused on the tensions and the conflicts and basically was a video documentary of the breakup of the Beatles. 40 or 50 years later now, Peter Jackson of the Lord of the Rings trilogy got a chance to look at all this unseen footage and noticed, as Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr have been saying for many years, that they don't remember it being so dour and being so tension-filled, that they remember these sessions. Yes, there was some stress there, but it was also a fun time and a happy time, and that's what Peter Jackson found in this unseen footage. And so they put this all together, and now it's a three-part series. And yes, I do agree with you. The one thing that I think that this does for if you're a Beatle fan, yes, we've heard all the stories, but I think it also, to see what I was most impressed with was you could see how Paul McCartney is amazingly musically talented, which we already knew, but you see it. You see the birth of a song just come from nowhere from this guy. He just has melodies floating around in his head. And then I was very impressed to see how John Lennon was not a dictator like many people thought he was. He's likable and lovable in this.
Yeah, the you know, the previous documentary, Let It Be, really did focus on their animosity, and you know, for so long, you know, like you said, Paul and Ringo have been saying it wasn't always like that. But was that just spin? You know. We really didn't have the footage or the evidence that it was anything but what we knew in the previous documentary. So this really does kind of like lend credence to what they've been saying all along.
Yeah, I saw the first episode and a little of the second one. It has been both revealing and confirming. It's frustrating to see these guys battling. But there's also some new insights as you say, it basically kind of just gives us a chance to confirm what either has been said. But I must say, I've also learned something. There was one point in the next episode, if you see the second one, Paul references that the Beatles may break up, and Ringo has this face of shock, like, wait, what are you talking about? And I'm like, whoa. This is a very interesting study in these four personalities that we know so much about, and yet we don't know a lot about. And I think this adds a new layer of that. As a Beatle fan, how excited were you to see they were talking about this for about 3 or 4 years already?
Yeah, exciting, and also it's as I was watching it, you know, it really does. You know, if I can put my English teacher spin on it here, it gives us that know the story already a real sense of dramatic irony, because we know things that the Beatles in that moment didn't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So, you know, like we all know that George walked out during these sessions. So as we're watching this documentary and we start to see kind of the tension starting to foment between Paul and George, you say to yourself, oh, is this where it happens? Is this where it happens?
Right.
You know, and they're talking about, you know, how to design this big set and where to go on location for their concert. All the stuff that we know never came to fruition.
Yeah, there are some great revelations and some, as you said, it's more kind of just like a filling in of the gaps or filling in the backstory. We already know this, but now we have 50 years of hindsight to know what did happen and what didn't happen and what was talked about and what, like you said, didn't come to fruition. And I'm just really enjoying it. A lot of times it is kind of mundane and boring. They're just kind of talking or there's a lot of silence. But as you know, as a director, a lot of times, a lot of messages can be conveyed when there's silence.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And as someone, you know, I'm too young to have lived during the Beatles era and to see their breakup or any of that. But, you know, it's been interesting. If you don't mind, can I defer to my father-in-law for a second?
I will do that. We're going to have to take a quick break. And then after that, we will do that because he apparently is an even bigger Beatle fan than you are.
Unbelievable. Seriously.
Okay. Yes, I definitely want to hear that. So we'll talk. What is his name, by the way?
Oh, that's Tony.
Okay. Oh, Tony Fontanetti. Hey, Tony Fontanetta. Okay. Hey, Tony. Yo. Oh, this is your father-in-law. Fontanetta. Oh, this is your father-in-law. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But anyway. Okay. So we'll take a quick break then, right? Yeah. Jim Tirano with you at WGN 720 AM. We'll be talking Beatles after this break. No switching. Two episodes are now currently available on Disney Plus of The Beatles Get Back, the new re-edited version of Let It Be, the film made by Peter Jackson of the Lord of the Rings fame. And I was talking to Jay, who is a big Beatle fan, but he says his father-in-law, Tony, is an even bigger fan. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Very good. So what's your reactions to The Beatles Get Back?
Well, my perspective is, of course, I was 7 years old with my legs folded when I saw him on Ed Sullivan in 64. So basically what I think the biggest thing that came to light for me is with all the stuff that I did know about him as the years went by and after seeing Let It Be was how difficult it must have been for George and Ringo. Well, Ringo was fine as long as he kept his mouth closed and did what he was supposed to do. Poor George, to me now, is like, not only did I see them in the past, like I said, in Let It Be, where he was kind of stifled at the time, but this time he was like, no matter what he said, Paul did not agree with, and I never saw that part of it before.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting? Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, I've always felt, and like I said, to me, what I've learned most about seeing the first episode and a half or so, is this really confirms a lot. I've always felt if Brian Epstein, their manager, had not died at age 32 when he did in 1967, I don't think the Beatles would have ever broken up. They needed a mediator. They needed somebody they looked up to and someone that they trusted. And Brian played that role. And they could not manage themselves. They needed a father figure or someone. George Martin, to some extent, played that in the studio. But for their personal lives or their business lives or even their career lives, they needed someone like that. And I think, to your point, Paul was kind of becoming the de facto leader. And I don't even know if he wanted to, but he looked around and Ringo and George and John, nobody was sort of taking the bull by the horns to say, we have to do this. We have to do this by a certain date. And I think Paul is a very ambitious and kind of detailed kind of guy. And so he took that role begrudgingly. But to your point, oh, wow, isn't it frustrating to see how much George Harrison wants to contribute and he gets shut down at every minute?
Exactly, exactly. But I will say that there's, depending on how you like to look at it, I also believe that if they were managed, I do believe they would have went forward as a foursome. But at the same time, I don't think, because they didn't have a manager, I do believe that's when you start to see their individual musical talents come out. And they all wanted to exude that individually. And that's inevitably what happened. And I think because they weren't managed, that's where they went. They were like, I want to do what I want to do. And that's where they went.
And I think that, to your point, is well taken. And I think that they could have found a way. I mean, look at the Rolling Stones. They've been around for 50 some years. They've put out solo albums. The problem is that the Beatles kind of invented this whole thing. And so at that time, I don't think they even thought, well, I can do a solo project by myself and then come back later and do something as a band. And so now that's commonplace. So I think that I think it was good, but I think Brian Epstein probably would have found a way to say, okay, guys, look, if you're feeling some internal growing pains, go out and do your own solo album. Then in 2 years, we'll come back and we'll do a band thing. But they didn't, without that extra person there to be the go-between, to sort of gripe about another member without hearing that gripe right from their mouths. I think feelings got hurt, and sadly, it became the animosity grew, and it seemed like as you watch this, they're all leading toward them breaking up. It's almost matter of fact, and it's really sad to see, because my gosh, to watch them in the studio just coming up with songs, they're all contributing. Paul, as I said, we always knew he was a musical genius, but my gosh,
right.
I mean, he's
exactly.
While some people are talking in the corner, he's there. The chords to Let It Be are happening.
And I was kind of impressed with that, because he, from the minute he walked in to the minute he left, he was always...
Yeah.
He's always doing something, always figuring out lyrics, always figuring out music. And I was like, that's very impressive. And that's why I always said that I believe that he had the best solo career anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. But
anyway, it was really nice talking to you. I don't know how long the show is, but I want to turn this over to my daughter, who I raised to be a great Beatle fan. And Lauren is here, and I think she wants to interject a bit. But thank you very much for having me on.
No problem. Real quick, Lauren, because I got to run. What were your what are your overall impressions so far?
Real quick, overall impressions was the amount of music that never made it onto the albums themselves.
Yes.
Sitting there and listening to them riff through songs that no one really had ever heard before. I mean, just think of the body of music that they currently have, but the body of music that they potentially could have had they kept playing together. So I would love to see an album kind of come out from this documentary series with some of those songs, you know, akin to what came out when the anthology was released.
Yeah, that's a great point. What I also found interesting right along in that same kind of area is how many songs during this Let It Be session that wound up on Abbey Road later, like Maxwell Silver Hammer and Carry That Weight, and a lot of songs that were written during this time and then didn't make it onto Let It Be, and then were such great songs that they've made Abbey Road one of the best albums of their career. So, I'm learning a lot here, and I'm looking forward to the last two episodes. And it's nice just to hear that that as a Beatle fan, the four of us, which I didn't expect with this great, that the four of us are all kind of tracking. We're all getting the same things. We're all finding these little bits and pieces to fill in our Beatle trivia and our Beatle knowledge. So I want to thank Jay. I want to thank Lauren. And I want to thank Tony for our Beatle feast today.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Jim. Good to see you again.
All right. Take care. Jim Tirano with you at WGN Radio 720 AM. We'll be back after this. No switching.